so check it out. All right, two prominent drinking and driving situations involving high-profile people, the Chiefs assistant coach, Britt Reid, Bruce Springsteen, that came out just today. It wasn't an incident from today, but it was from November. It became public today. Once again, shining a light on the dangers of drinking and driving. And let's talk with Rita Kresslin. She's executive director of the Alliance Against Intoxicated Motorists with some helpful advice and warnings here for us too, Rita. You know, I suppose the thought is with the pandemic, we're not driving as much as we once did, but it doesn't seem like these sorts of things are going away. I just wonder what the numbers are and what you're seeing, what kinds of things you can tell us about what's going on.
Hi. Yeah, thank you for having me on the program. We don't have any definite numbers yet. It's a little too soon because of the pandemic, and shifting gears of what we're learning is really according to local reports from law enforcement officers that DUI arrests are down, but crashes have been on the rise. And due to the pandemic, less people are out drinking in the bars and in restaurants, so there's less people on the road. According to some of the reports also, though, people are still drinking because there's been an increase in alcohol sales.
So that is the thing you do hear. You hear alcohol sales are way up during the pandemic across the board, from especially hard alcohol and things like that. But whether those people are getting behind the wheel and leaving their houses, or they feel comfortable because they are at home, just sort of imbibing in the presence, you know, of their family members or just at home, that it's maybe feeling more safe to do that. I just, you know, I guess it'll be some time before you understand how that shows up in the data. What do you make of these two high-profile cases? One of them involved injuries of two little girls, which is really heartbreaking. In Bruce Springsteen's case, it was just an arrest for DWI. He's not known to be a heavy drinker, as far as I know, but he was found on a federal park property in New Jersey and was caught in that way. It's just becoming public now.
Right, right. Well, first, let me say that DUI is not an accident. It's a choice. It's willful conduct that people make the choice to get into a car and drive after they've been drinking, and it's a crime. It also doesn't matter who you are, Bruce Springsteen, Michael Phelps, Britt Reid, or the guy next door. The end result, if you choose to get behind the wheel of a car after you've been drinking or using any type of drug, the result can be the same. It's going to cause death and injuries. And whether a celebrity status gets somebody a break, a professional courtesy, or maybe they can afford the best attorney, it just comes back at least that it's bringing, like you mentioned before I came on the air, that DUI is in the spotlight again, and it's bringing emphasis to the problem that is still out there and still ongoing, and that it's dangerous.
Mm-hmm. What would you say about the pandemic and COVID in general, how that has impacted this, any kind of things you're seeing there?
Yeah, well, like I said, we don't really have numbers as far as you know, we do know that the DUI arrests are down, but crashes have increased. And the reason we're getting reports from local authorities about the crashes increasing is because there's less people on the road, but more people have become a little bit braver since the roads are open and they're drag racing, they're speeding. We've had several victims that our advocates are working with where one family, they were rear-ended, and the daughter, 16-year-old daughter, was killed. The guy was going 107 miles an hour, had a crash just up the road before he hit them. And, you know, the people are just getting brave and putting their guard down to think that they're safe because the roads are a little bit less traveled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it's interesting to see. I know that there was a lot of attention during the Super Bowl, in advance of the Super Bowl, because of it affecting Britt Reid, and that was a horrible, horrible situation there. He said he had two or three drinks on top of prescription drugs in that case. Talk about what you're seeing in terms of people mixing different addictive substances.
Well, there's approximately 16% of all DUI crashes involve drugs. So next, alcohol, marijuana is the most widely used drug. And whether it's medical marijuana or commercialized marijuana, you know, you're not supposed to drive impaired. So, you know, the minute that you start to feel different or that you think that you're, you know, you're even a little off operating a 5,000-pound piece of machinery, it's just not a smart thing to do. And people, you know, from what we're learning, they think there's many myths out there that they think they drive better when they're high. We know that not to be true from the statistics, especially with the levels of THC and how they've changed and evolved throughout the years and the different cannabis products that are out there.
Mm-hmm. And are you seeing that take over, drugs take over alcohol in any way in terms of the numbers?
I'm not seeing drugs take over because they really have a hard time measuring drug impairment unless they can draw blood versus alcohol, which they also draw blood. But unless there's a crash, do they ever really do that? So they're basing a lot of their results on field sobriety tests and what they're learning from the experts, the DRE experts on the road, to be able to detect whether there's drugs or alcohol involved. Mm-hmm. So, but the numbers do show that most crashes involve both drugs and alcohol.
Hey, Rita, I know a lot of people are upset online and making their voices heard that Britt Reid hasn't been charged yet. He hasn't been charged yet. Now, my understanding is that it is winding its way through the legal system, and it takes time to process this before they can bring those charges. And I don't know if that's the holdup. I don't know what it is. Maybe you do. I'm just wondering, in terms of prosecuting these kinds of crimes, what are you seeing there? Your organization, I know, must track that kind of thing.
It does take a while because they have to do a thorough investigation, and they don't want to make charges without making sure they have all the facts, because then if they charge prematurely and then they've missed something. So it's not even that unusual to, with Bruce Springsteen, that if he was charged in November, you know, to start hearing about things, because maybe now it's just making it to the court to where he's, you know, going through the process of having to pay his due to society, so to speak, you know, and because he was on national park grounds, it's a little different, the charges as well, because it's a misdemeanor federal offense versus some of the charges that might happen on a local Illinois state road. But it's not unusual, even in deaths with injuries, for people to be in the court system for 2-3, sometimes even longer years before it makes it completely through the prosecution.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It doesn't even make it through.
It doesn't. Right. And I know your advocacy group, that's one of the things you no doubt work with to see these things through for the family members who are left devastated if they've been injured or hurt in some one of these accidents. Hey, I was just noticing here, reading into the Bruce Springsteen situation. He was arrested late last year, November, for DWI. Yes, as you said, in a federal park. And it's interesting because a lot of people are talking about how he has spoken very publicly about how he's not a drinker. My experience with my father had been enough. His father had been an alcoholic, and that terrifying, all-engulfing presence when he drank reminded me and convinced me to never go there. I guess anybody could be in this situation if he is what I would draw from that, not somebody who does a lot of drinking, and here he is arrested for a DWI.
Yeah, well, you know, the reality of it is the average DUI offender is the guy next door. You know, most people knowingly drive impaired 50 times or more before they actually get stopped by a police officer. And God willing, they get stopped. They don't end up having a crash or injuring or killing someone. Before the pandemic, we put on over 140 victim impact panels every single year. And some of them have 100 to 150 DUI offenders. First time, most of them DUI offenders that attend that are court ordered to be there. Now, the majority of them, like I said, are like the person next door that made a bad decision, thought that they were okay to drive. They're mortified that this happened to them, and they move on and they never do it again. But you have that segment of population that they think the law doesn't apply to them. You have some people that are alcoholics. They're driving illegal. They don't have proper insurance. They don't even have a driver's license. And those are the ones we try to, you know, teach in these victim impact panels, that you need to make changes now so that you're not that person that ends up back in court 2-3-4 times and then kill somebody.
Yeah, I hear you, Rita. It's important information, important things to keep in mind. Two high-profile cases just bring it to light, and I'm happy you're able to join the program with important reminders on that stuff. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for having me, too.
Have a good afternoon, okay? Thanks for the time.
Okay.
Rita Kresslin there. She is the Alliance Against Intoxicated Motorists. That's her organization. You can look it up. It's several thousand members strong. It's bottom of the hour time, so let's get to the news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
The more I think about this past year,